So who would like to kick things off? I'm just going to scan the audience here. Oh, quick off the mark, Anna. As hostess, you may as well have the first question, Anna.
Thank you very much, Anna Stapleton, Citizens Theatre. I'd like to endorse the start you made with your plan because I think it's a very good framework for the next 10 years. One issue that has been under discussion a lot, and I think right the way across the sectors, is the issue of touring, the issue of getting the excellent work that's done right across the art forms out across the country, as well as creating work that is right for venues of this scale from Scotland. Because certainly in terms of theatre, the discussion at this scale is there's not enough quality work being produced for this scale. How can we create things to get more work created for this at this scale in Scotland? And what can we do to help you?
Okay. Well, I'll talk about strategic commissioning. We fund a number of foundation organisations, a lot of them who do touring work, whether it be in theatre or in the visual arts. And then the Scottish Arts Council had this programme called Flexibly Funded Organisations. How many flexibly funded organisations have we got in the audience? Great. Well, I stood up in front of all of the flexibly funded organisations and said, we won't be funding you in 2 years' time. Be very clear about that. We won't be running that programme. We will, however, be asking you to deliver for us some strategic commissions across Scotland. And the thing about the flexibly funded organisations, it was very competitive. There were 139 organisations bid for this £8 million. And by the very nature, they're all fantastically good organisations doing really high quality work because the top 60 got the money. The trouble was we were judging chalk with cheese, you know, a community arts centre in Aberdeenshire with a visual arts festival. And we hadn't decided how much chalk we needed and how much cheese we needed, and we certainly hadn't decided where we needed it. So what we've ended up with is 60 really fantastic cultural organisations. I've been to see 45 of them now, in one form or another, doing really brilliant work. But we've 11 small-scale theatre organisations within that. Seven of them will be performing at the Tron Theatre this year. That's great. I love the Tron. It's got a really vibrant programme because of all of you. But actually, if we're trying to serve the entire population of Scotland and to build on some strengths, we need to be a bit more strategic. So we've kind of given the example of theatre in the plan of how would you do strategic commissioning. And what we might say is we want eight companies or we want eight franchises. And we'd really like some work on a larger scale because there actually are these venues in Inverness and Aberdeen and here that need work that's of a larger scale. We'd also actually really like to see some work in Gaelic and Scots. So we may have one of the franchises that has an emphasis on celebrating language in Scotland. We might want to build on our strength in children and young people's theatre and say that a couple of the franchises would be in that area. And we might want to ensure that there's some touring work that can really stand up both internationally and locally in our festivals. We might want companies that do rural touring into the smaller village hall venues. But we'd be more specific when we've done that cultural ecology review first and take a look at what are the stations we need and what are the trains that we need to go around to those stations. So strategic commissioning, I hope, is really going to tackle that touring issue. We're already starting to do some things on that front, and we've got £2 million project money for quality arts production and £2.3 million for touring. And you'll start to see us shifting the emphasis of that a little bit towards meeting some of those gaps. It's not about it not being the same people. We want to invite people to collaborate. And instead of one of the things about the flexible funding is a single company applied for money and you either got it or you didn't. The thing about strategic commissioning is we say we really want a project that gets Scotland reading. And we're going out there and we're inviting some partners to come together to work on a project to get Scotland reading. And you might get three or four cultural agencies coming together as a consortium to deliver that. And that's a much more powerful way of working than actually just supporting a single company or not supporting a single company.
Okay, we've got another question from the gentleman on your left, and then Kieran immediately behind after your question.
Andrew, first of all, can I say I'm just a bit disappointed. I thought when I saw the props, I wondered, is it the acoustic guitar or the cello you're going to try? But there we are. Edward Harkins, an advisor in social enterprise in the culture and artistic fields. I also work for the Scottish Regeneration Forum you mentioned in the strategy. I've just come this morning from a conference where we were hearing about the decade-long success of the placemaking and regeneration of the Merchant City in Glasgow, which was largely cultural driven. And that compares with the Gorbals, where this theatre is situated, where you could say that culture didn't play nearly so significant a role in the regeneration and placemaking here, but that maybe there's more of a role for culture now in rediscovering whatever identity there is for the Gorbals. You mentioned yourself that the priority of invest in place is a bit of new language or jargon, and it might be helpful if you could say a bit more about that. It could, for example, mean investment in the cultural infrastructure of a place as compared with the investment in the cultural activities of players.
Yeah, this is my specialist subject on Masterbinder, so it's a comfortable question. I mean, I've spent the last 20 years doing... Well, I'll tell the story, actually, about... once being told at a careers office that I was going to be a town planner and being really disappointed because I wanted to be a rock musician. And then I realised a couple of years ago I was the keynote speaker at the Royal Town Planning Institute. And I realised that actually what I've been doing was town planning through culture. And culture can play a really important role in defining places. Now, I was working in Newcastle Gateshead where we really kind of changed the image and the fortunes of aspects of a city or twin cities. In Scotland, I think culture really is being used to define a number of places. Dundee is really reinventing itself and reinventing its pride through cultural investment. In Glasgow, there are clearly, you know, some really inspirational people within the City Council, actually, in Glasgow Life, that have made things happen here and got behind the creative industries and projects like WASPs and the Brigate. But it's very interesting to see the dynamic. If you look at the map of Glasgow and put your little dots on it of where all the cultural things are, there are strings of them and there are clusters of them. And Spears Lock, I think, is absolutely fascinating because, you know, it sort of happened. There wasn't a master plan particularly, but you've got Scottish Opera, you've got National Theatre of Scotland there, you've got RSAMD there, you've got Glasgow... sculpture studios moving in, you've got interesting visual arts spaces, you've got private dance schools. It's developing a cultural cluster there. We need to work with those things and see how we can help accelerate those things without spoiling the natural growth of those sort of places. We also need to kind of look at places where they haven't got the cultural infrastructure and see where Creative Scotland can make a difference in that master planning and looking long term. I was in Aberdeen yesterday, and you know, for a city of its scale, Aberdeen, it doesn't have the independent cultural sector that it should have. It doesn't have the range of cultural venues that it has. Never mind getting product for a middle scale venue, we'd need to build the middle scale venue to put it in. So I think culture can play an important part, and right down to communities. And one of the things in the detail of the plan is we've got a £300,000 public art programme, which is going to have a very particular focus on regeneration and communities. And we'll talk to SURF and other agencies about that. And I think this, our place conversations with local authorities and local areas can help look at those places. Why is it that Ullapool... who's been to Ullapool? Just hands up, it's one of my favourite places. Why is it that Ullapool now is almost a kind of year-round cultural destination? And Mallaig or Oban is empty. Now, why? They've both got similar characteristics. They've both got ferries. They've all got ferries that similar size. In fact, Mallaig and Oban are bigger. And yet, it's Ullapool that has become the culture. It's about placemaking through people and a small number of passionate, creative individuals who've made things happen. And we need to find ways of encouraging that to happen. In different places.
Question from Kieran.
Hi, my name's Kieran Singh from St Scotland Arts. My question's really actually in reference to the plan itself. I read the plan a couple of weeks ago when it came out, but I've just skimmed through it. But I was interested on page 32 under international section, it mentions that Scotland is currently leading the way in terms of arts and disability. I'm interested in how, and it also says within the plan that Creative Scotland has an interest in raising the profile of Scotland's place within the world in terms of arts and disability. I'm interested in how Creative Scotland is going to go about this process and work with organisations such as ourselves, Send Scotland, who have just come out of flexible funding, as well as the Foundation of Flexible Funded Organisations, and also recognise some of the work that we're doing out with Creative Scotland support, such as our Helen Keller International Programme, currently running it for 10 years, but we've got a relationship with over 1,000 disabled artists from over 120 countries around the world. This type of work we'd like to kind of recognise and work with yourselves in raising the profile of arts and disability. So how can we work together in this area?
I'll just put this image back up. By focusing on the work that's there, again, you know, I've just had the privilege of seeing some fantastic work, not seeing everything yet. This was Lung Ha Theatre Company. I went to see the show Around the World in 80 Days at the Traverse last week. It was at Platform in Easter House. 20 performers with learning difficulties, one of the highest quality productions of its sort that I've ever seen. Sold out in all its performances, and this company has been selected to be in the Made in Scotland programme in the Fringe. What a fantastic advert for Scotland to have that quality of work coming out and being given international showcasing within one of our premier festivals. So we've got to do things like that and make sure. And it was last year, you know, Private Dancer in the Fringe, and Scottish Dance Theatre's work with Caroline Bowditch. You know, this is really top quality work that's happening. We've got to tell that story. It can't wait for me to go around and see everything. We've got to find ways of packaging that together and showing that is a strength. And out of those sectoral reviews, we'll look at equalities, we'll look at international, we'll look at whether some of this work really does stand up internationally and how we can showcase it and celebrate it internationally. So there's some really exciting sectors like your own where I think we've just got fantastic ingredients to work with. Just need to cook a bit faster.
I think we can take another couple of questions before we have to move on to the next part, which is the music and the networking. So do we have another couple of questions? Quick hands. Come on. Gentleman at the back. Right.
And then there's David.
And there's a gentleman in the middle there, and there's a lady over here in the middle. So that'll be
Should I take them all three? Do you want to just ask all three questions, and then I'll...
So that's Ben, and then this gentleman in the middle, and this lady here. Great.
Ben Spencer from Visual Arts and Galleries Association. It kind of picks up on your last point, Andrew, in terms of whether you've got any more detail on the reviews that you've highlighted, particularly for this year. Obviously, I'm interested in visual arts, but how they might be run, who might be involved, how you kind of see those working.
Well, you're going to be involved, big style. We haven't written the briefs yet. We're going to try and do this in a coherent way so that we take a kind of template of how we do one of these reviews and apply it across each of them so we get a kind of common picture for them. We're going to take that to our board in June in a draft. Our senior team is going to be working on this at an away day later this month. Well, I say away day in the office. We'll then want to design a process that really does engage the sector constructively in that. I think we need to bring in external expertise in some instances, and this is an area where sometimes a kind of reflection from outside, but both national expertise and international expertise could be really valuable to some of these reviews. Because sometimes you don't see the obvious. So we'll bring in some expertise to work with us. And we'll also try and benchmark against other nations where we can. But hopefully we'll have some briefs starting to emerge, I think, towards the end of June. Set ourselves this calendar year to do these. So we've got the youth arts strategy, we'll start running it first, and then these sectoral reviews.
Can we have the next question, please?
Yes, it's David Cook from Wasps Artist Studios. I think I'd just welcome, again, someone mentioned one of the comments was the change in tone which has come through from the plan. And one of the phrases that most excites me is where you talk about valuing risk. I think that funding bodies, as you've talked about the change from funding bodies and bureaucracies to something new. And I don't know if you want to say a bit more. I mean, I think in the past it hasn't been something which has been a strength. And now, what do you mean by that, and how will you'll go about that?
Yeah, I'll do an anecdote. I used to work at Northern Arts, which is the Arts Council for the northeast of England and Cumbria. And I always remember an artist writing to us, grant application, and he wanted to plant 2,000 acorns around Newcastle in an artistic pattern, but nobody would see the results for 100 years. And it wasn't a big risk to put £2,000 into it, and we agonised over it because we didn't know whether he was joking, whether it was real, whether the kind of concept had anything of a public value initially. And we didn't support it. And I've always regretted it, but I've always remembered it. Because when I've had more ambitious and bigger risks to take, I've thought, yeah, we should have gone for that. And we've got to hold in our minds that actually some of the bigger risks are the ones that can have the biggest rewards. Now, sometimes, you know, with buildings, you know, you've got to test the feasibility of things and make sure that they're going to be sustainable and all of that. And you have to have risk assessments. But risk assessment should be about supporting things going ahead rather than stopping things happening. And we've got to trust the cultural sector to go out there and take risks. Building a culture of being risk averse is building a culture of risk taking is not that easy. And you know, I think we'll need to take our team through that as a process. But likewise, with the cultural sector, you know, what's the balance between doing a really ambitious project that could actually tip you into oblivion if it doesn't come off, and playing safe? You know, which is the best? I mean, on the whole, taking the risk.
Can we just take the last question here?
It's Julie Tate from Culture Sparks. You talk a bit about mass participation in the plan as well, and I wondered if you could describe some of the ideas that your team have had in relation to this.
Yeah, well, some of the Inspiring Communities projects, which is a really brilliant programme the Arts Council ran, have delivered, you know, really significant mass participation. And we've got things in the Cultural Olympiad programme, Angus Farquhar's MBA project, and Arthur's Seat, a lot of other good projects in the pipeline through still that Inspiring Communities programme that will come to fruition. But 2012 and 2014... we're going to provide a framework where people can come forward with ideas, and mass participation is going to be one of the kind of themes of that, and engaging communities. And not everything will be about mass participation. We're looking for kind of quality events and build on celebrating quality production. But those two moments, I think, give us a real opportunity to engage people across the whole of Scotland. So that's one of the main areas. We will also be kind of driving our foundation organisations that bit harder to say, you know, come on, how are you contributing to these five objectives? You don't all have to do all of them, but some of you are really well positioned to do work that builds major participation, massive education programmes. You know, Eden Court in Inverness, it's quite remarkable to see the scale and the depth of their education and outreach programme in an essentially very rural area. How can we learn from the examples and the quality of what's going on? You know, the work that's happened here in the SITS, you know, there's lots of good examples of engagement and participation. We need to learn from those. So lots of projects that I'm sure will come forward. We just need to get the kind of framework for it right, Julie. Is that it?
Okay, yeah. Thank you for your questions. And I'd like to once again thank Andrew for his presentation. If you join me.